Ay, write songs for my dogs, for my squad, for my heart. How we won, how we lost, how we came, how we saw. Through it all, ashen backs, out the roof, foreign cars, and pursuit. By the law, still we reach for the stars. Oh my God, oh my God, so high up, I'm so far. Deja vu, I've been here before. Say come back down to earth, it's resist the urge. Still no brakes, on this core. Live or die, either or. Go for broke, hustle hard. Lead it all, on the floor, on the floor. Go for broke, hustle hard. Lead it all, on the floor, on the floor. Lead it all, on the floor.
West side of Sloss and grind and make a million. We them hungry niggas in between the buildings. Risking everything we got to feed our children. My city built off of love, but we killed it. Hard times posted with pebbles and Buddha with it. I was told the money was there, it's up to you to get it. Jabos with the Eddie Bauer, no true religion. Ralph Lauren ski jacket with the Ruger in it. Quarterback in the block with the Mike Vick game. I wasn't always successful, but still I made plays. Under pressure, I run with the rock and get away. The main focus was living to see another day. Hall of Famer in the league, but I never played. I left my granny house young when I should've stayed. Motivated by the money I was getting paid. Go get her from the start, nah, never change.
On this court, live or die. Either or,
I never
go
change.
For broke, hustle hard, lead it all, on the floor, on the floor. Go for broke, hustle hard, lead it all, on the floor, on the floor. Lead it all, on the floor. Go for broke, hustle hard. Go for broke, hustle hard. Go for broke, hustle hard. Go for broke, hustle hard.
Yo. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Reckless Effect Podcast, and this is your boy, King Reckless, and I'm in the building. How y'all feeling out there? Oh man, I had to get on here and start this episode off with some Nipsey Hussle. What's wrong with me? I can't talk right now. But I had to start with Nipsey. We're closing in on the 4-year anniversary of his tragic passing. 4 years. It's unbelievable how many things have happened in the past 4 years, but just to recognize that this great, great man, this rapper, this entrepreneur, this community activist from LA is gone. it's just tragic that he was taken so soon at the age of 33, and we celebrate and remember him. He leaves behind a legacy that has continued to inspire and influence many people in the music industry and beyond. But what was it that made Nipsey such an important figure in the music industry when he was still relatively small? Not necessarily in character or anything, because he was huge, he was larger than life, but like, he wasn't a household name like a Jay-Z or a Nas, but he had that influence, he had that strength, he had that reach. Obviously, he was a talented rapper. and rose through the ranks through his mixtapes and collaborations with other artists. He was known for his unique flow and his ability to tell stories about struggles and life and triumphs of his community. And he was an entrepreneur who was passionate about creating economic opportunities and generational wealth for Black people. He was the owner of several businesses in LA, including a clothing store, a record label, and a co-working space. The co-working space was such a beautiful idea and a collaborative effort by other people in different sectors of business to help people in his community realize their dreams. And it aimed to support and empower those people. It was such a beautiful thing that it actually trickled on to other artists to do the same thing. It was such a beautiful thing. His community activism is powerful. He was dedicated to promoting peace and reducing violence within his neighborhood. And even though people would look at it and say, like, yo, he was also a Crip, you know, but, you know, being in that community and being in that gang actually helped, because it allowed him to see things on a very real ground level that he could be the voice of when speaking to politicians, speaking to police, speaking to other leaders in communities, and bringing them all together and recognizing one major problem within the community collectively and working to change that. He was involved in a number of initiatives to support young people and provide them with alternatives to gang violence and gang life. It was such a beautiful thing, and his death was just devastating to his family, his friends, and his fans, but it also sparked a wave of activism and renewed attention to the issues that he cared about. His legacy continues to inspire many people to work towards creating a more just and equitable society. And for that, we say thank you, Nip, and we miss you. And what else can you say except the marathon continues? What else can you say? I mean, this man was great. He was big. He was larger than life. And that's really all I can say about that. And man, we miss Nip. And whenever I am starting my morning, I have a, just like everybody else, I don't know, but I'm assuming, you have a playlist that you have, like, in the morning, or, you know, for things that you're doing. For me, my playlist, when I get into the car and I'm about to really start my day, it's that song that I just played, On the Floor, because I feel like, you know, that song gets me hype. It gets me to recognize what's next, what I have to do, the grind. And I follow the mantra that he said, you know, give to your empty. And it's not necessarily just giving to the community. It's about giving into your goals, your dreams, your passions, and living through them, and really putting all of your best effort into it in order to become the best that you need to be for you, for your friends, for your family, and for the people that follow you. Give until you're empty. And that song, just, it hits, and it gets me there, and it gets me going. So, one more time, thanks, Nip. And yeah, man, let's get this show going. You know what I mean? Let's go on to the next and just, yeah, let's get this show going and cracking.
To hold. missed the transmission. I said, no way. Them the days we couldn't buy no gourmet. Forget the bad things that happen with the foreplay. So when we walk in any venue, it's a light show. Catch a dinner and a movie, wear your nice clothes. I throw the burner phone away, I go ice cold. Can't lose my main bitch fucking with my side hoes. I know she mad when the text is full of typos. She asked me about this chick Alexa, she like 5-0. She don't care about me, she entitled. I'm fucking her and I fucked the bitch she idol. I'm inspired by the women with no rivals. I'm inspired by the women that wanna be politicians. Inspired by the women that leisure is going get it. The independent woman that never need men to listen. I call my mama crying about dude, I couldn't get it. And since then I hated every boyfriend she been with.
I just felt like we needed like a little buffer from what was and what is and what we getting into. That was Baby Keem. If y'all don't know, that was Highway 95 off of the Melodic Blue. All right, let's get into it, because there's a lot of things that was going on, but there's just a couple things that really took everybody's attention and focus. So let's firstly get into this TikTok ban and what's going on. You probably heard everything and heard it all before. But if you haven't and you don't really know or understand, let me try to break this down. But according to a couple sources that I really not only trust but really looked into and tried to fully understand this, but there are two bills that have been introduced into Congress that aim to basically regulate social media companies like TikTok. Now, this is important because it's social media companies like TikTok, not necessarily just TikTok itself. But let's just get into it. The Data Act and the Restrict Act would require companies to disclose more information about their data collection practices and limit foreign ownership of these companies. Very interesting, because basically they're saying they do not want outside countries owning products that are used in the United States. Now, that sounds like it could be a good thing, right? It sounds like it. Sounds like it. But we have to recognize that there are a lot of companies that we work with, that we bank with, that we buy products off of, and we give them our data willingly to purchase these things. So it's kind of weird when it comes to when they're talking about social media and these types of things, because it's not necessarily that the companies are have the ability to steal our shit, because they let's be real, it's totally possible that they could. But what about American companies? But let's not get too far into that. The interesting development, though, and it could have significant implications for TikTok's future. TechCrunch reported that a TikTok ban would benefit Meta, Google, and Snap the most. Really watch these and really pay attention. And by the way, even though I'm saying this and I do not agree with this ban, I did buy some shares into Meta and Google and Snap just to see what happens. And I'm on the up. Anyway, if TikTok is banned, it would create a significant void in the social media landscape, and users would be looking for alternatives. That is what they are stating. This could lead to a surge in traffic for other social media platforms, which would be a significant win for companies like Meta, Google, and Snap. However, it is important to note that a TikTok ban would also have negative consequences for the tech industry. All right, so we have to recognize that a lot of the companies that we use social media wise, they're based here in America. Snap, Google, Meta, which is Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp, all here in America, right? What's interesting, though, is you could argue that this is denying one's free speech, you know, and it could lead to people being outraged and using those other platforms, which would go up in price, but it would lead to a revolution of sorts. So, because a lot of people rely on TikTok, not just regular everyday people, but people who use it to reach out for their business, reach out for their own personal identity. TikTok is an amazing organism within itself, just because of the simple fact that it allows people to pick and choose who is that it person, who is that influencer, who is this person that not only speaks for us, but speaks through us. Who can we trust to speak through us and for us? Like, there's so many great creators on there, and they have been organically chosen to be who they are and to be where they are, right? But let's flip. Whereas Meta and any Google products, but there's not really, that's not the point, and Snapchat, they are not organic. They pick and choose who is and who isn't, right? The most influencers that you see, or people with the blue check mark on Meta's products, even Twitter, they are people who have established, who are established, meaning they're writing not only articles about them, but they're in movies, they're in music, they're in our everyday life. You know, they exist within a sphere of other things. And it's not necessarily them connecting to their audience on these platforms. It's just someone else doing it for them, or it's whatever. It's a team rather than this person. So even though we see like Selena Gomez, who is the most followed person on Instagram, she is authentically putting pictures out there, posting stuff, and she's connecting and engaging with her team. Sure. Will Smith, same thing. But do you really think, Meghan Markle is out there really connecting with her people? She's probably a bad example because she talks a lot, but that's not the point. The point is that there are a huge number of people who are just allowing other people to connect rather than having the people connect and choose them. Okay. But anyway, let's continue on. Wired reports that the hearing in Congress highlighted the need for a comprehensive privacy law in the United States. The lack of a privacy law has made it difficult for regulators to hold social media companies accountable for their data collection practices. A TikTok ban would only exacerbate the situation, and it's essential that lawmakers address this issue. It's a complex issue, though, and there's no easy solution. We need to find a way to protect users' privacy without stifling innovation and creativity. But as you may know, TikTok has been under scrutiny in the United States due to its concerns over data privacy and potential ties to the Chinese government. Xu Zhiqu, the CEO of TikTok's parent company, ByteDance, recently testified before Congress and to address these concerns. And here are some of the key takeaways from his testimony. Firstly, Xu denied any ties between ByteDance and the Chinese government. He stated that the company operates independently and that its user data is stored in the United States and Singapore. Very important to recognize and understand that. By the way, if you guys watched any of that, it was about 2.5-3 hours long of them just going in on him, right? And what's weird is that you heard just how removed they are from everything, just far removed from what social media is, what TikTok is, what they need, they're just far removed. They're dinosaurs trying to talk to young people and say, hey, we know better. And young people are looking at you like, no, you don't. That's basically what it was like. It was literally watching your parents talk to you about how life works when they have no idea how life works for them now. You know what I'm saying? A lot of old people from 50s, 60s, 70s, they look at life and as it was back then for them. And they're comparing it to today and saying your problems aren't as bad because everything is easier for you. And we're saying, no, it's just as bad for us. The difference is you didn't have all this technology that could have made it easier for you. We have to deal with life with this new wave of technology that is crashing and burning the economy. And we're watching this all happen in real time, and it's because of the growing technology. But old people are like, since we don't understand it, we should ban it. And young people are like, no. It's strange to watch this go down. But anyway, secondly, Chu emphasized that TikTok has taken steps to protect user privacy, including the appointment of a chief information security officer and the establishment of a data privacy committee. He also noted TikTok has committed to being transparent about its data collection practices and providing users with control over their data. Thirdly, Chu discussed TikTok's efforts to combat misinformation and harmful content on the platform. He noted that the company has implemented a range of policies and technologies to detect and remove such content, including a content review committee and machine learning algorithms. Now, that did, not go over as well as he thought it was going to, mainly in the eyes of the council. And it was only because they feared that with the filters, one, that they are collecting data and then sending it back somewhere else instead of recognizing that it's data that is collected and put on your phone and you can delete it later. But people of that generation, like I said, don't really understand technology and its advancements. They're trying to catch up to something that is moving faster than they are. So it kind of makes sense to have more younger people involved in politics, just so these things are made clear and that they understand these things rather than just not making any goddamn sense. And lastly, Chu discussed TikTok's economic impact and its role in providing platform for small businesses, creators to reach a global audience. He stated TikTok has created over 1 million jobs in the United States and that the platform has helped many small businesses to grow and thrive. And we've seen it. We've seen it with Keith Lee and everything that he's been doing, trying to help struggling businesses unstruggle. And because we've seen that in real time with the things that he's been doing in just a few months, think of TikTok's actual power when it comes to really helping people. 1 million jobs created, 1 million. This one app helped create 1 million jobs. That is insane. That is incredible. I didn't even think to look up Facebook's numbers. I didn't think to look that up. And I probably should have. But if we're focusing on this and hearing that number, if I was Meta, I would be shaking in my boots. And to be honest, I think they are. Let's look at the facts real quick. A few months back, sometime last year, Meta introduced their Reels. Well, actually, it's been around for a little bit longer than that, but that's not the point. The point is that they introduced bonuses for your Reels, and they basically stated that at 11 million views, you can get paid $1,200. How many people utilize that and try to make as much money as possible using Reels? It helped out a lot, especially for people who are smaller. And they would constantly make, and you only get up to 150 a month. people are making so much content and trying to put it out there to try to make that money that you're making accidental stars at the same time. But they're not as, but they're not as big on TikTok, or they are huge on TikTok already and they're just putting their stuff on Instagram and making that money. So they could be double dipping, but at the same time, who cares? But Meta offering that showed their hand just a little bit. It's like, hey, we got to get these views. It's the same premise that Instagram or Meta had put out years ago, because if you don't remember, Instagram was just pictures. It was pictures only. And because it's been established for such a long time to be pictures only, right? Vine comes in and they make these 7-second clips and people are blowing up authentically and organically. They are coming up and they made stars. And a lot of those guys we still see. Those guys who made those 7-second videos, like King Batch, for example, arguably one of the biggest on TikTok or on Vine, made 7-second videos, blew up, and now he's in movies, TV shows, he's everywhere. And it was huge for them. And Instagram started shaking in their boots, and Meta shaking in their boots. And what did they do? They offered people, hey, instead of 7-second videos, you can make 10. And then they upped it, you can make 15. Which then allowed more people to go back to Instagram and start making those videos and start really pushing it. And what happened to Vine? It died. It died quickly. And you saw the death coming from a mile away as soon as that was introduced. Now here comes TikTok. 15 second, 60 second, 3 minutes, 10 minute videos now. And they are freaking out, Meta, because people are now spending less time on Facebook and Instagram and WhatsApp, and they are on TikTok constantly. It has the perfect algorithm. It's perfect for people, especially with people with short attention spans. TikTok is perfect for that. And now Meta decides, we're going to pay you to stay on our app. And they do. They start paying. Pay. But as soon as this bill was introduced and the congressional hearing comes about, Meta just magically decides, hey, we're not going to pay you anymore. Yeah. It's done, effective immediately. Because in the beginning, there was no end date. And now, the hearing comes. Hey, yeah, about that. Sorry. We're going to take that back. And look at how many people were upset and displaced because of it. Because it's like, damn. Some people were making that $1,200 regularly. Some people were making $5, maybe $100. Admittingly, I made some off of it. But what's wild is that they are so confident that TikTok is going to be banned. And that was very interesting and telling to me. So if they are in fact going to be banned, it's because Meta knows something. And then you look at all the people who were speaking at that congressional hearing and you see they bought into Meta. They bought more shares into Apple, more shares into Google, more shares into Snap. They bought all these shares just prior to the hearing. Insider trading is a bitch, right? But it's not illegal. Sort of. It is. But them being affected positively through the downfall of this app is atrocious. And we should be writing and calling all of our congressional leaders, people in Senate, anybody who will listen, because this app should not be banned. So the pockets of those people in charge they're lined up. We can't have that. If you one of those people who are sick of big government taking advantage of the little guy again, then you need to make your voices heard as loud as possible. This is something that you should be rioting in the streets about. That's just my opinion. And we will see in the next few weeks what's going to happen. We will see. It might not happen. Let's be real. It might not happen. But if it does, it's going to be a dark day. It's going to be a dark, dark, dark day. Now let's move on to the other big news that's happening. I gotta get into it. Jonathan Majors, let's go, because this was interesting to say the least. If you don't know who Jonathan Majors is, where have you been? Why are you even listening to me? But basically, let's kind of get into who he is. He's a huge rising star. I mean, he's in the Creed 3 film. He has been on The Harder They Fall, which was produced by Jay-Z. Like, I'm telling you, that movie, hands down, is one of my favorite westerns that I've seen in a really long time. I mean, and my favorite of all time is Tombstone. I mean, who doesn't love Val Kilmer in that movie? Come on. Doc Holliday? Come on. Anyway, that movie's great. And he's also in Defy Bloods. But his career is in jeopardy at the moment. He was arrested in New York last week for allegedly assaulting a woman. The incident reportedly happened in a hotel leading into a taxi cab, and Majors was taken into custody shortly after. However, in a recent statement to Deadline, Majors' attorney has claimed that his client is, quote, entirely innocent. Well, of course, they're going to have to say that. He stated that there is evidence that will prove Majors' innocence and expects the charges to be dropped soon. It's a complicated issue. This is really complicated. And we should be cautious not to jump to conclusions. It's important to remember that everyone is innocent until proven guilty. Please remember that. Everyone is innocent until proven guilty. I'm not talking guilty in the court of public opinion. I mean, once you have all of the facts. If someone, hypothetically, if someone went to prison and they had to take a deal, you would automatically assume that that person's guilty, because why would you take a deal? But a lot of regular people don't realize that it costs money to put on a defense. If you don't have that change, you are not going to get out. It's highly unlikely. If you are already arrested and you are in jail, it is highly unlikely that you are going to get out if you do not have that money. Some attorneys, depending on the case, charge upwards of $30,000 to $100,000, maybe even $1 million, depending on the case, if it's capital. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's really difficult, and there's a lot more that goes into it than just getting up there and stating your case. The things that you don't see are truly important than the things that you do see, right? So, you know, when it comes to those situations, those hypotheticals, even though it happens all the time, trust me, it happens a lot more than you think. Because that person took a deal, you automatically assume that they're guilty, right? But then later on, you find out, you know, this, this, and this, and this, and this, and you're like, wait a minute, why did you take a deal? And it's like, I couldn't afford it. Those situations happen more often than you think, and the DA actually bets on that. They bet that you can't afford this case. So then they offer the best deals, because they know, hey, if we probably took this to trial and you had the money, you'd probably win, because we really don't have shit, you know? Like, DAs bet on that shit. But in this situation, because he is, you know, a major movie star and he makes a lot of money, he has the money to fight for his life, right? And then everything is put out there. We have to be cautious on like how we jump on this, because it is very sensitive, one. Two, we don't have all the facts. We only have certain things coming out. Now that the DA is adding on charges of strangulation and harassment, there is so much more to this. And I'm thinking that the DA is reaching to try to get anything to land. We already know that the woman has recanted her statement. We already know that she has mental issues and that she's going to a hospital and being treated for it. And she's been previously treated for this stuff. We know that there is video evidence of the situation and that it was acquired by Major's attorneys. And there are witnesses that were there, both who have seen it firsthand and heard the commotions and what's going on. So the Major's attorney is betting on, hey, we have all this, here you go, and he's going to be cleared of all wrongdoing very soon. And I'm hoping so, because I do like this young man, and he has a huge future ahead of him. A huge future. And I'm not just saying that as a Marvel fan. I really do believe that this young man is going to just, he's going to create the works that we are going to talk about for a long time. And he's done so with The Harder They Fall. He's done so with The Five Bloods. We just can't automatically kill. And this is my problem with the cancel culture as well, because they're so quick to look at someone's mistake and kill them for it before they even have all the evidence, before they have everything, before they even hear the or recognize the apologies or recognize the truths or recognize anything. They'll just want to jump on it because they want to be the first rather than have all the information. And that is really sad. And a lot of people, myself personally, I'm getting to the point where it's like, even if somebody did wrong, even if somebody made a huge error in judgment, not just a mistake, but an error in judgment, they made a wrong decision. And I'm not going to call it a mistake, because you can actively choose to do something that ends up hurting people, or you can actually choose to hurt people because you're hurting. Like, there's a lot of parameters that go with it. But let's just say for easy street that people make wrong decisions, right? Doesn't necessarily mean that they're bad. They made a bad decision, right? When do we stop looking at people for their worst mistake, the worst day of their life? When do we stop doing that and allow people to show us who you can become afterwards? When you slip and fall, what do? You look for somebody. You look for that person to get back up. And if they get back up, they learn not to understep. They learn to walk in stride, and they learn. They grow. They move forward. They have the lesson. We should be allowing people to fall and get back up and see what they are going to do next. When you see somebody who's making mistake after mistake, and they're slipping and they're falling and they're choosing to make these, it becomes a conscious decision and a choice after they've already learned that lesson. If you got your ass whooped, you're not going to go back and fight the dude without having any lessons or anything. I'm getting off of the point, but the point that I'm really trying to make is we need to stop killing people for their worst day, and we need to allow people to grow. We need to allow people to prove to us that their misstep is not the only step they have. We need to allow people to move forward and to grow and show what they can do. When we stop doing that, we stop being human. When we stop allowing people to continue to fight, we are no better than they were on that mistake. We need to allow people to grow and to show us who they can become, and not how we deem them as comfortable for us. You know what I'm saying? If that makes sense. We shouldn't just hold them there because it makes sense to us, because it's comfortable, because we only remember you from that. No, because we're humans and no one wants to be held to their worst day, their worst mistake, their worst choice. We shouldn't hold everyone to that, because people can learn and grow. I understand that people do hurt and that there are those lasting feelings, but leave it to them to have those feelings. But leave it to the individual who caused it, who caused the pain, to learn and to grow. That's my two cents on that. I hate cancel culture. I hate cancel culture. I can't speak today, but I really do hate it. It does nothing for people, because then there's no forgiveness. There's no growth. You know, one mistake shouldn't be the end all be all, depending on the mistake, depending on the choice, right? That's just how I feel about it. But back to this, it's Hollywood has taken these allegations of assault and misconduct very seriously, and a lot of people have had their careers fall apart. So we should tread lightly and get all the facts before we start going in on them. It's an unfortunate situation, but we'll have to wait and see how it plays out. We just have to hope that justice is served and the truth comes to light, whatever it may be, and we need to accept it as that. Unless it was full of shit, but let's not get into it. I mean, OJ is free. But that's a different story, and I'm probably going to get into like my little conspiracy theory about that one day. But I don't think OJ did it, and I'm not one of those black people that's just trying to defend black people. Like, I will defend my people because, you know, I love my people. But I don't think he actually did it, and I don't think he hired anybody to do it. I kind of think he knows who did it, but he didn't find out till, like, in the middle of the shits. And he was just, I'm not going to say nothing, because they ain't saying nothing. But that's, yeah, one day I'll do my truth about OJ. man, that's going to be a wild conspiracy theory. I might run all of my, that's what I'll do. I'll do an episode of all my conspiracy theories and just random shit that I think about. You're probably going to think I'm crazy, but I don't give a fuck. prayers up to Jonathan Majors, and I hope that everything works out in his favor, because I do believe in this young man. So, yeah, we'll see. You know what I mean? But before I go, I want to pose something to you guys. I read something on Facebook, and it kind of has been bugging me a little bit, and it's just because it's kind of a stretch, but let me read it to you, and we'll probably get into it another day. Actually, no, I'm not. I'm gonna, yeah, anyway. So the post goes, children can't consciously make a decision to decide what food to eat, what they want to be when they're older, but they can choose their own sexuality? Might as well let them pick their own sexual partners with no age restrictions. That's what y'all are moving that goalpost to anyway. Sick motherfuckers don't even realize you're supporting pedophilia. Now, that is the entire statement. And I responded to this person, because I do know them, and I said, you're reaching. He's seriously reaching. And if you agree with it, then you're reaching, because that it's all over the place. And if I try to break it down, it's going to go kind of like this. Children can't consciously make a decision to decide what food to eat. Now, let's take that at face value. No one can. Everybody has different preferences and different ideas. That's why, because there's so many choices, it's gotten a little difficult to pick something to eat, right? where to go. And then even when you get there, you're looking at the menu like, what do I want to eat? Because everything sounds good and you're already hungry. You could eat anything and you want to make the right decision. And then we also have women who take a lot longer to figure out what they want to eat. So that statement, that's general. That's an overgeneralization. And let's just leave it there. What they want to be when they're older. Of course not, because they're kids. Kids don't know what they want to be. In fact, there are adults right now who are going into their second or third career because they thought the first one was it. And then the next thing that they followed was it. And then now this is it. People change careers all the time. I wanted to be a lawyer when I was a kid. That's what I wanted to do. And then all of a sudden, I heard a beat, got on the floor, and I started dancing. And I was like, I'm going to dance for the rest of my life. And then I met an amazing teacher, and I was like, you know what? I want to be a teacher. So then I went to go get my PE degree so then I can become a dance teacher or a teacher of some sort. But turns out, hey, I actually really want to just teach choreography, travel all over the place, and work with other people and perform. And that's what I ended up doing. Like, you, even though that was in the same sphere, I focused on just that one thing. And then my mom kept telling me, hey, just in case you get injured, you should probably pick something else. And guess what? That day came, and I did. And I had to find something else that I needed to do. And I fell in love with two things, photography and retail. And that's kind of where my life is right now. So when it comes to that, children can't consciously make a decision on what they want to be when they're older, life changes all the time. It's fast. It's changing. Like, you really don't know what you want to do. You have an idea. And then when you get into it, it's either, hey, I love this, or I hate this. And that happens all the time. Doesn't matter if you're a child or not. And they're kids. Some kids want to be ninjas. Some kids want to be Transformers. Like, come on. They're kids. Of course they don't know. But I also think that those last two things that I said, that's part of his point. Kids don't know anything. But neither do adults. But they can choose their own sexuality. The simple answer to that is yes. I feel like I hear some people like, what? Yes, they can. Listen, can kids decide what they want to eat? Yes. Again, it was an overgeneralization that this man was saying, so whatever. But yes, they can choose what they want to eat. Yes, they can choose what they want to do. And they know. Some people know when they're like 5, 6 years old, and then they actually pursue it and become it. A lot of people do. But to say that they can't choose their own sexuality is one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard in my life. Because, and here's the simple thing. We cannot dictate what other people do with their bodies or how they feel. Listen, I know people are thinking, but they're kids. Here's the thing. When my daughter was 4 years old, she told me, boys aren't supposed to see girls naked. So, Dad, you can't give me a bath anymore. And in that moment, I could be like, no, shut up, I'm your dad. But what did I do? I looked at her in her eyes and said, you're right. Okay. And I looked at my fiance at the time and was like, can you give her a bath? And she said, yeah, no problem. And that's how it went from then on. Because my daughter was establishing her own boundaries and she understood what they were. And that's important because then it shapes for the rest of her life who she is to become. Not only for herself, but for everyone else that comes into her space. She set up her boundaries. She knows who she is and she knows what she wants. That's only at 4. My daughter's 9 now. And she tells me all the time of things that she likes, things that she doesn't, things that she wants, things that she wants people to stop doing. She's very vocal on who she is and what she wants. So why am I going to question that she doesn't know herself? Because I recognize this one thing to be true. It takes a lifetime to know who you are. It takes a lifetime because you're changing every day. You're growing and evolving every day. You have to reintroduce yourself to yourself every day. And if that bit of logic is true, why isn't it true for a child? Oh, because they're kids? So we're adults and we don't know shit and we're learning every day. Point blank period. So a child, yes, can absolutely choose their own sexuality, choose what they believe, and choose who they love. I saw this thing the other day, and it was very powerful. Absolutely powerful and ridiculous at the same time. Two guys are having a conversation, and one guy's talking about how being gay is wrong, and blah, blah, blah. Homosexuality is a sin, and all this stuff. And it's wrong, and they shouldn't be. They should, a man and woman, blah, 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 right? And this other person was talking about, you know, understanding, you know, the difference between, you know, left-handed and right-handed people. That left-handed people were shunned and looked at as different because only a small percentage of the people were left-handed back then. And they would pretend to be right-handed so then they wouldn't be beaten or made fun of or any of that stuff, right? So, did they choose to be left-handed? No, it just happens because it makes sense to them. There were people, it just makes sense to them, right? It falls in line with who they are and what is natural to them. This feels natural, even though it looks different. Feels right to me. It's not them daring to be different. It's just that they are different. And then the guy followed it up with, do you wake up every day having to choose to be attracted to women? The gentleman said, no. I just naturally am attracted to women. Should I wait for you to connect the dots? That was absolutely brilliant because it left that man thinking, holy shit, I just fell into that. Now I have to think how I'm going to get out of that. But honestly, you can't. Because the reality is, only you know what you're attracted to. And it's not based off of just being surrounded by gays and lesbians and transgenders and drag queens. It has nothing to do with that. It's about your own chemistry and what you find attractive. If you like the color pink, it's because it feels good to you. It looks good to you. The same is when it comes to a person. That's why I said that his statement is a reach, especially for the following part. They pick their own sexual partners with no age restrictions. We should let them. That is absolutely ridiculous because it's not the same thing. If you're talking about sexuality, you can't necessarily go in and say, yeah, 9-year-old, you can't be gay because then that means you're gonna like pedophiles. That doesn't make any sense. You like adults. You're sexually attracted to adults. That is the most ridiculous thing that I've ever heard in my life. Ridiculous. And it's a huge stretch. Huge. Because most kids who are molested, or it happens to be that they were molested by somebody that they knew in their family. It's very rarely a stranger. And kids who, or and adults who are attracted to young kids, I'm not saying it's okay, it's not. They have that. That's them. That's something that's going on with them. And they need to address that and go to therapy before they do something horrible to a child that can completely and utterly destroy them. But to say that we should allow children to look up at an adult and say, hey, I want you to be my sexual partner, that is That's a huge fucking stretch. Just because they choose their sexuality. Their sexuality has nothing to do. If they like women, or if they like girls, let the kid like a girl. Because it could be a phase and they grow out of it. If it's a boy and he likes other boys, it could be a phase and they grow out of it. Or it could be real. Why deny somebody the opportunity to become who they are and who they want to be just because you don't like it? Living a life of making other people making people comfortable is not a life to live. And we need to not do that. If you are constantly finding yourself making other people comfortable in order to live a life, you're not living. You're existing in their world. You are forever their version of you. And not your version of you. So, let's let kids be kids, for sure. But let them and allow them the space to find out who they are. But do not equate sexuality with pedophilia. That is absolutely ridiculous. And that is such a far reach. You're supporting pedophilia. Dude, sit down in the corner somewhere. And he really thought he got off. He really thought that was a bar. It's not. That was stupid. No, I'm not here for it. I'm not. I'm sorry. Peace out. Because that was just, that was a huge reach. And to the people that are out there saying, yes, no, stop it. And it's mostly men. Mostly black men who have, there is a horrible, horrible issue when it comes to black men and the gay community. Like, come on. I'm not even going to get into that. But when I'm seeing black men going off and spewing that nonsense, it's just wild to me. It is wild. It's wild to see minorities going after another minority group and wanting to deny them rights when they are still fighting for theirs. It's a weird, like, it's a weird flex and a weird thing going on. I don't understand it, but no. Let love be love and let these babies find out what they want and who they want to be. It's up to us to keep them safe from people who want to harm them. But we shouldn't keep them from finding out who they are just because it makes you uncomfortable. You can't live a life making people comfortable. Yeah. Anyway, I didn't mean to take that long and to get into that, but it was bothering the hell out of me, and I thought I should say something about it. Anyway, I'm gonna get out of here, but before I do, you already know what's coming. Last week was the anniversary of the death of the 5-foot assassin, Fife Dawg. And it was it still hurts that he's gone. I'm not gonna lie to you. It still hurts. But I felt like, you know, we should honor the late great genius and show some love to the 5-foot assassin. And just and get out of here with something beautiful, something great. So let's get into this Fife Dawg and Rhapsody joint called Fallback, and it's off of the Forever album. Thank you so much for listening, and tune in next week because I'm going to have some more shenanigans and some more things that I'm thinking about, and I'm definitely going to come with that OJ thing because it's my mind is wild, yo. So anyway, peace, love, chicken grease, rest in peace to Fife Dawg, rest in peace to Nipsey Hussle, and just remember to show love, give love, and be love, and I'm out. Peace.
Sounds so beautiful, don't you agree? Yes, sir. Be courtesy of crisis. You know what I mean?
Come on. This is how we do from New Yitty to the Bull City NC. Yeah. Check it out. White CL 550, ivory interior. Do it all for her, you random chicks are inferior. My starship superior.
Fuck if you ain't feeling
her. Red, bring on the haters, I'm saying the more the merrier. Condos in DC, the shine NY.
Why?
Mansion in the A, as well as the Bay, sublets in Trinidad.
Can we take the kids to Disney?
Whatever you desire, but first, enjoy Sydney.
Microwave meals?
Man, my chef game real. Word to M real, straight up, he know the deal. Countless vacations, Chick-fil-A nation. Rubber Lash. Suit and tie when at crustaceans. Life is better and I'm loving it. No more dialysis, mother struggling. Family Guy, similar to Peter Griffin. Group of solo mission, they're the reason I'm spitting. Fall back.
Memories got me falling.
Fall back.
Memories got me falling.
Cause when it comes to my fam, I don't know how to act. Try front on Ken Jack. Yeah, fall back.
And I'm still sending my
fall back. Cause when it come to my fam, I don't know how to act. Try front on Ken.
Yo. Fife like the whip all white, I like it black. If I loan you money, believe me, I want it back. Days I'm spaced out, I want my ceilings like that. So I'm mentally preparing on how to invest in racks. I'm super protected, the squad is like a pack. Double A batteries, the homies don't hit back. But that energy and enemies, I don't invest in. I learned life short, the family here just trying to win. Rap on a Porsche, mama want a Benz. You ain't really boss if you ain't employing your friends. Counting on my blessings, praying over my shortcomings. I've been blessed, so I let it slide. If you owe me something, you ain't getting over. I'm just being nice about it. I've been known to fall in love like a kamikaze. Just mean my heart big, that's the thing about me. So just know I love you deep if I let you
fall
round
back.
Me.
Memories got me falling
fall
back.
Back.
Memories got me falling.
Cause when it comes to my fam, I don't know how to act. Try front on Ken Jack. The way you do it, fall back.
And I'm still sending my
fall
love.
Back. Cause when it comes to my fam, I don't know how to act. Try front on Ken. Can't wait to help my unborn read their first book. A daddy's little girl asking daddy, what's a hook? Twin nieces in the loop. They say they love my LP. This joint knock, right, her. Uncle Fife, you got heat. Perplexed like Scooby. Laugh at their speech. Elated that they bringing home honors every week. For that I'm not shocked. As a parent, that's fly. But do it for yourself, baby girls, never I. Now it's worth the Mickey D's. Happy meal, extra fries. Toy and out of bag. Mango smoothie, apple pie. Spoil the seeds. Long as they wager on top. Bad behavior, equals Jordans in a box. I'm the provider, director, leader of the pack.
Yes.
Front on my fam and out comes the captain of the ship. So I have no room to slip.
Nah.
Honor that craft, I thank Jaja for the gift.
So we fall back, all the memories come back to me. Flow right through me, never ever basic, ordinary. We still feel you, please believe me. Hey Fife, diggy diggy, don't forget the love. Hey Fife, diggy diggy, don't forget the love.
Sending my love.
Memories got me falling back.
Memories got me falling back. Back.
Yeah.
And I'm still sending my love.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I'd like to welcome you back to the TNT Hour. I'm your host, MCP, and I'm lining here with my good brethren, Fife Dawg.
Man, what's going on, boy?
Yeah, cool, father. Everything
yeah,
blessed,
man.
Watch now. Real people talking all kind of stupidness out there, all kind of whack.